I'm Ron Vignac, married to Nancy Vignac, to do the announcements today. I choose this topic for us, especially during this week, the logic of opportunity, because I go all over the place, so if you want to stay with me, you're going to, at least there's one thing that's focused here. It's this statement on the board. And there's a logic, I believe, I think we can find it probably at every level of society. It crosses all racial barriers, all ethnic barriers, all class barriers. It would take not much to find this logic. Pervades almost in every institution in our society, including the church. I would offer it not as to be something against. I would offer it as this is the reality. If this is the reality, then if you are a faith people who also have a certain reality, how do you bring the two together? And I would suggest, especially, I will not talk much about the poor right now, because we all have images of poor people. And if I asked everyone here to talk about who you and what you think poverty is, we would have endless stories and experiences to bring. Okay. I would rather stay away from that, because what I learned when I taught poverty at PLU as a two-credit course for sociology, even though I'm a Lutheran pastor, is that, you know, I meant, did you understand that? What happens when you do something like I do in the ministry I am in, you are automatically an authority. And my kids would say, I always believe everything I say is right anyway, so I challenge you to challenge me. Very specifically. But I think this logic of opportunity, you will have images of your own, I hope. I'm not like Bernie Meyer, who is the Bible study leader, who encourages and loves to just let people talk. I tend to like to argue with people. Maybe that's why they put me in the mission in the sandwich. To be seriously, just to give you an opening image before we actually go through this. How many are from Oregon? Is there anybody from Oregon? I would like to ask you, there's two Salshans in the Northwest, Pacific Northwest, those of you from Minnesota, there's two. Would you describe, I know you know it, right?
The one at the beach?
Yeah, would you explain it?
It's a very luxury kind of place, I guess. I mean, the houses are really beautiful and it's just gorgeous.
Salshan on the Oregon beach is a five-star resort. You don't get better than that according to the standards that we measure those things by. The closest I've come is Coeur d'Alene with that new, and that is an image all by itself that I'd love to talk to somebody. We met the man who built it, who eliminated every distraction possible. And so when you look out windows, you don't see tar roofs. You see wonderfully wooded. He eliminated the toilet noise, so you didn't hear somebody peeing, you know, going down there. It was to eliminate every distraction so that you would be in a quiet and non-prickly place, like a luxury car where you don't even know you're actually moving. Two Salshans, five-star resort, the Salshan I work in. Some people, the image is either one's the first resort and one's the last resort. You have to decide that as a people of faith. I'm serious. I wish the money that people went to the five-star resort would come our way once in a while to give us some sustenance to work. We are, but you have to decide that, right? At PLU, that's Pacific Lutheran University in Tacoma, Washington. It's a fine educational institution. I was campus pastor for 5 years. I announced to the administrators first, Dr. Bill Reike, that I was leaving to go to Salshan. To Dr. Jungkunst, I was going to Salshan. To Beckermeyer, Salshan. And every one of them did what?
Congratulations.
They congratulated. I was getting shaken. And I had to inform them that. They said, when are you moving? I said, I'm not moving. Going down the street. Because there was that second Salshan. And it's a wonderful community. It's a community, it's a housing project. All of you familiar with housing projects? In other words, the federal government gives the state money, the state gives it to the cities, and in authority, it's subsidized housing. To make it real simple, the formula is you take your gross income and you pay 30% to a housing authority for both rent and utilities. In other words, it's a good deal. On the open market, rarely will you find suitable housing for families at 30% of gross income, especially if your gross income is $7,000 a year, or up to 12, which is what I consider the income. I always say low income people, that's the people we work with. People living on $7,000 to $12,000 a year, that includes the working poor, people on public assistance, seniors on fixed incomes, SSI, which is simply another word for those who are unable to work, have a physical disability. The community would express all that diversity. So one thing I want to get around, people in poverty, or if you want to, I don't even like the word poverty, but I have to use something. People who are poor in America, at least, are not one-dimensional characters that is often portrayed. They're very multidimensional, they have incredibly complex lives, and they are incredibly gifted. I want to say that right out front, because we can get lost in some of this other stuff. But they, too, live by this. And the result of how one looks at this, in other words, especially the bottom part, because it's the bottom part of the statement that justifies the whole thing. And you will find, if you ever get into an argument about welfare, you will get into an argument about who deserves. And then it gets to, I talked to, where is he, John, he's on staff. Because the only group, I'm just going to jump all over for a minute, the only group pulled out of poverty since the war on poverty in the 60s, which group? There's some of you here.
Elderly.
The elderly or the seniors? Are you elderly? No. How about your wife?
I'm the same as Steve.
Oh, yeah. How old are you? Look at this. What about denial? There's a recovery group of people who still think they're 30 when they're really 65. How old are you?
Thank you.
I gotta go over this side. There's gotta be somebody 65 or older.
70.
Okay. Are you on Social Security?
Yes.
Yes. You don't have to answer my questions, by the way. Did you work most of
yes.
your life?
I taught.
You taught, and would you say how much a person on Social Security, are you single?
Yes.
Okay, single woman?
Yeah.
Live by yourself?
Yeah.
Could you just tell us what maybe you met, Social Security is?
I have double. I have a pension from teaching.
Oh, of course. Well, I would hope so.
So, yeah, so $700 a month.
$700 a month.
But I would get more if I had gone just for Social Security, I understand.
Right. Okay, and then plus you have your pension then.
Yeah, and that's about the same.
And so what would you say what your gross income is for a year?
1600 times 12.
Yeah. 1600
times 12,
any
mm-hmm.
good?
I'd say like
12. In other words, you would not be listed as someone living in poverty.
No.
Okay. A family of four living on less than 12,000 would be considered by our government, you can argue with those figures by the way, that you would be in poverty. So in other words, the family that I live with, my pension and health payment every month is about $600 now, $650 a month, okay? Now the people that came up here a month ago, who are on what we call public assistance, raising a family of four, three children, one individual, assistance they get is $531 a month plus food stamps.
$800, just about
$800
before I got married.
Before, oh, you married this man?
Yeah, pretty much.
Now she pushes this to the extreme.
Gotta do something.
Did you hear that?
That's right.
You gotta do something. Why is it when we talk about poor people, when they do the something they do to survive, live, oh man, do the eyes get critical then? because of this. Because we're so Protestant, we're not very Catholic, and I mean Catholic with a small C. I would contend that most of us have lived with the Protestant Ethic, remember the book? There was a book called The Protestant Ethic by Max Weber. Looked at our society and said, what makes it tick? And he said, this is what makes it tick. And the term now is not Protestant ethic. What does everyone call it?
The work ethic.
And what was the work ethic to do? I mean, why, it's a religious thing, by the way. It was out of the Puritans. It was out of the Calvinist doctrine. That how would you know? We know how we're saved, right? We're baptized. But Calvinists don't quite believe that, neither do most of us. How do you know you're saved in this society? I really want to know. It's a belief system. How would you know that you are one of God's chosen?
We're hardworking and we're good.
You're good, and you also have. I know you are because you're an engineer and you're a teacher. And I won't embarrass you to ask what your gross income is unless you want to tell us. Pretty up there. Even two entering teachers like Roger Iverson, who sang last night, and Cindy, they were both at PLU, know them well. They work in the Tacoma School District. Even they, with their combined incomes, is what? Two work before taxes. It's really interesting. The median income for Americans, median just simply means 50% get more, 50% less. What's the median income for us Americans? Family income.
Well, it was $26,000 a few years ago.
For right. 26.
For a family of three, I think.
What is it today? 1991.
28.
Anybody else want to go? How much does a incoming teacher make at Tacoma School District? Anyone? Incoming. First year, no experience. 20,000. So combine the two? 40, they're a little bit above the medium income. About 38,000.
The median?
Median.
That's for two people.
Or a family. Or a family. We're not talking about single parent or single individual working. It would be about 18.
Right. So what are you...
We're talking about
family. What do you mean?
We're talking about the average family.
Okay, but that's not always a two.
No.
No, but that's how they compute it.
Well, that's not
right.
Because that's not what happens.
What happens?
It's called household.
What happens?
Household.
Is what
household
happens.
Income. Household income. I'm saying 50% make more. You can argue that. If you're saying that a single parent making only 20 is below, she's living, or they're living below the median. That's all we're saying. In other words, take a Roger Iverson single individual. He would have a difficult time even making all his bills if he owns a car, has a regular apartment, and enjoys some of the amenities of life, that middle class, to living on $20,000 before taxes. Okay? I know many students who are living on near poverty level. That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Okay.
So household median, okay. Not individuals. And anybody would like it, you can just add up your incomes, just as the couple did with Social Security. You know, I have my Social Security. And interesting, we don't call Social Security welfare. What do we call it? There's a real distinction since the 1930s. It's called social insurance. Welfare is called what? Called assistance. When we finally brought in health care for what we said was going to help the nation, we divided it into two categories. One was 90% of the people who received it was what? The elderly was Medicare, and for those unfortunate poor folks, it was Medicaid. One was you deserve it because you did what?
Work.
You were. The other didn't deserve it because they don't work. Where did that all come from? We will explore that in our time together. Just a little thing from responsive prayer. Prayer is built upon the scriptures. Let not the needy, O Lord, be forgotten, nor the hope of the poor be taken away. Amen. I got my whole... Okay. I just want you to keep intention. Two salad chants. Yes, sir.
Would you read that last statement? My eyes
are... Oh, yes. Let me read the logic of opportunity. The logic goes like this. opportunity for, and I will, we will use economic terms here. The opportunity for economic advancement is based on hard work is plentiful. And you can find that just about every, if you listen to election and politicians, there was not one that I listened to that did not use the word opportunity for all Americans. Second part, the deduction then is, individuals are personally responsible for their own economic fate. I don't know, anybody want to argue with that?
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, you do? Mostly people who already made it. It's interesting.
That's right.
Okay? Where you end up on the economic rewards or reward depends on one's effort, acquiring, applying of skills and attitudes. This statement justifies the whole system. That's the basis. That if you want to get into a good fight on welfare or the deserving, undeserving, there are some people who are deserving poor who we throughout history have acknowledged. And those would be possibly widows. Who else?
Orphans.
Disabled. Disabled. They deserve the society's noblesse of the largeness of our hearts, if you will. We'll divert taxes to them. Okay. The undeserving in our country, at least, and in others probably too, is those who what?
Are uneducated.
Uneducated, don't work, whatever. Just to let you know that it has not died, I have this original ad from Safeway. Those who have, do you have Safeway stores in your? They won a national award. It ran for 2 full years in the 80s. I would contend this is a picture of salvation. It's the total embodiment of the Protestant work ethic. And if you were a few years ago, you'd be able to even sing the ditty. Does anyone remember this ad?
Yeah.
Somebody has to read it because these things need to be spoken out loud.
Does that mean they didn't accept food stamps?
No, they said, oh, they don't care about that. That's not the point today. The point is to get out what is underlying that runs our businesses, our churches, our personal lives, our corporations. That's what I want to know. That's what we need to challenge today. Not so much, do they take, well, yeah, you're right, they'll take anybody's money. Pennies, anything. But read it out loud. You look like you're reading.
At the job?
Yeah.
You work an honest day, you get an honest deal at Safeway.
Oh.
I hated that the moment it came out.
Yeah, you? Why would you hate it?
And look at the image, the sun. It's like they're in church. They've got hats on. It's like the sanctuary.
Oh. What's the universal symbol for salvation? I don't care what religion it is.
Light.
It is the sun. Light. They are literally facing the God.
And if you don't,
now look at, I want you to look carefully now though at the ethnic racial thing here. Because one has nappy curly hair.
But the skin color isn't fair.
And which way is she looking?
Oh.
Aside.
Oh, here.
Interesting.
I have no idea how intentional this was, but Safeway is owned by the Mormon Church.
Yeah, I thought.
I'm so cynical that I believe this. But I won't. We're not here to bash anybody anyway. We're Mormons. But I want to say what this says. Just like when we read the Bible text, we don't just say, "Well, this is what I think it says." It just says it. You're working on this day. You get an honest deal, and you can stick in anything you want at Safeway. Where else?
At the church.
At Holden Village.
In life.
Boy, talk about staff. They want to get on each other. How come Nancy Nurse is not working? Oh, this place is terrible that way. And we even get you volunteers who pay to come here to work for nothing. I mean, we've gotten this down so good that here's your opportunity, folks, to give away everything. You're here on vacation and you're working harder than if you were outside. Strange thing. Anyway. I'm not flippant about this. Who, now, I'm a theologian, so I'm looking at it through the eyes of theology. You, whoever you are, look at it through whatever eyes you want, or need to. As a theologian, as a Lutheran theologian specifically, there is an inclusion and exclusion in these statements. Who is excluded for the moment? And I would be very concrete and very specific.
Dishonest workers.
One would be dishonest workers. In other words, they don't show gangsters there. Right? I mean, they'll show gang members, you know, with Crips on the back. Or
they can be dishonest if you haven't worked an honest day.
Oh, the Irish dudes.
So you're not going to get an honest Crips.
Okay. Who else? Excluded. One whole category of people who are living in poverty right now.
The Native American people, because they don't work by the day, they do it by the deed.
Yeah.
Whatever.
If there is a Native American, it'd be tough to pick them out here, but
the youth,
children. The largest category of poor today is children. One out of, what is it, four or five now, whatever the statistic is. Okay, who else is excluded?
Retired people.
Yeah, well, there are. There actually is a couple. It looks a little bit our couple here. They even almost are holding hands. They probably are on Social Security, and they're acceptable.
Probably great safer.
How about the one in the center after the Gulf War? That still is an interesting one. Yeah, I'll read something else about that later. Because isn't it interesting, when the war came on, all the liberals came out and said, look at all the blacks in the service, that's not good.
Yeah.
Then other blacks said, that's good. Why? Why were there a division in that thinking? It's a volunteer army, remember that. They volunteered for it. We called what went on in Iraq. We got a job to do. We called it a job. Mm-hmm. We literally said we have our work to do, and we're going to do it. Why would there be a division among, say, black leadership? In my own community, they argued about this. Why would some say this was a good thing, the army? What's the slogan? Well, no, it's a little different. It's be what?
Be all you can be.
Now, I say Colin Powell probably would agree with that. Well, who is Colin Powell? It's the most integrated institution right now. Church certainly isn't, but the army is. They even have courses on cross-cultural, ethnic, how to treat each other as races. Where are you, church? Yeah. And when Lyle Quazim, who is a wonderful man in Tacoma, who runs a program called Safe Streets, which Dan Rather came and did 48 hours on to stop drug and gang and what? Organized the whole community, street by street. Lyle Quazim, who's a black man, graduated from PLU. When people criticized, oh, look at all those blacks going to war, he said, don't be so quick to do that. The one place where they have what?
Opportunity
for, based on, and it's plentiful, or was until recently. Here is a member who knows this deeply. This is Harper's good article. When you're a Crip or a Blood, this was before, there's lots of other gangs, by the way, but this was early. Gang life in LA is explained by Little Monster, T. Rogers, Ratneck, and B Dog. Just one sentence. Bing is the interviewer. T is speaking. The army came out with a hell of a slogan. Be all you can be, and that's it. We all want the same thing. We've been taught by television, the silver screen, to grow up and have a chicken in every pot, two Chevys, 2.3 kids in the family. So we have been taught the same thing that you have been taught. This is the white interviewer. But there are certain things that we can hold on to and other things that we see them, but we just cannot reach them. Most of us are dealing with the reality of surviving, as opposed to, quote, well, my dad will take care of it. Bing, are you saying that gangbanging is just another version of the American dream? Little Monster says, it's like this. You got the American dream over there, and you're reaching for it. But you can't get it. And you got dope right here, real close. You can grab it easy. Dealing with the closer one, you might possibly make enough money to grab the other one. Then you throw away the dope. That's a big if now. And then the very end, because it fits with the Bible study. Little monster, it's like this. Oh, a bee dog first. But if you get called, then you must be needed, and you must come. This is even if you drop out of a gang. And then little monster says, it's like this. And I don't care who you are, when you started or how you got there, you never forget where you came from. Bee dog. T, that's it. Bee dog, you never forget where you came from. We don't need to analyze it, just want to leave that with us, that these gang members know this. And he's only saying, it's like this. The reality is this. And so my last session, which I will do with a whole different thing, and I will do it more specifically with poverty, the Citicorp, slogan for Master Charge. I know these by heart because I take them seriously. Somebody gets fired $50,000 to develop this. Does anyone know what Citicorp slogan is?
I want to just survive and not succeed.
Right, it's my title. Americans want to succeed,
exactly.
Not just survive. What did B-Dog say?
Survivors.
Survivors. In the community we live in, or work in, rather, we don't live there. Survivors. As one woman said, a wonderful image, as we went to visit her, I needed her help to help my barber, who cut my hair for the last 11 years, had a car accident and broke both her arms. She called in panic. She's my barber, right? She called, and I'm not her pastor, and she said, and I couldn't understand her because she was kind of out of it, and she said, do you have anybody that come and give me a bath and wash my hair? She called us. I said, where? She says, in Salishan. What did she know? We did get the woman, but what did she know intuitively, I'd say?
That you would help her.
That not so much I would help her,
but your people.
But our people would help her. And I went on a Saturday, and it was a day off, and she works for Lutheran Social Services, Carol Music, South Shan resident, with Bernie Meyer. She's off. It's her day off. And I said, this woman needs help. What do you think she did?
Went herself.
She went there herself. Did she give her the bath and wash her hair? Yes, she did. Did she pay, ask for money?
No,
she didn't. Stupid woman, should ask for money. But the logic, it's illogical, right? You don't do those things. But people, as she said, and she's a white woman, and she said, because we're talking about, she didn't get much pay. Do they pay well at Lutheran Social Services for people who do home care?
No.
Daycare?
No.
Take care of the elderly?
No.
Isn't it interesting? The most prized people in our culture, right? We're supposed to esteem you. Get into one of those nursing homes where it's not well taken care of, and the people working for you are making less than you're making from your Social Security. And we can't even get their living standard up to a manageable. I would just say that as a reality. And daycare, we prize our precious children, and we shuttle them off to daycare, and we pay those wonderful workers $4.50 an hour, if that much.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed. And when we used to pay babysitters $2, people used to think we were crazy. Yes, ma'am.
We used to say people gave better care to their cars than the people who taught their children.
Right. Okay. Would anybody like to challenge this? It has been challenged, by the way, by two large groups in our nation. Who do you think has challenged this in the last 20
years?
Yeah. Basically, there is opportunity, and two, use it, work hard, and three, the outcome, if you use all your gifts that are native to you individually now, you'll be okay. Who has challenged this logic? One is a gender group, and one's a race.
Reagan.
No, not Reagan. This is Reaganism. Exploded. Okay. Specifically, now let's get to race. Which group of people who we... Yeah, and say it again.
Am I saying it correctly, though? The NAACP, is that how it's said?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
They challenged it, along with who else?
Now? National Organization of Women?
Yeah. Two groups. Interesting. Why with those two? Of all the groups in the United States.
Well, it's a lie. It's a lie.
And why is it a lie?
Those two groups, it's a complete lie.
Yeah, would you just say it from your own experience, why you say it's a lie?
Because the bottom statement is completely, it's a complete fallacy. It doesn't matter. There's many, many, many people, it doesn't matter how hard you work, you'll never, they never are afforded, their effort never affords them the opportunity to be plentiful. Never. You know, I mean, one group I can think of right off the top of my mind is the migrant farm worker. I don't think a group works any harder than the migrant farm worker, frankly, in terms of laboring. It's a total lie.
Okay. You mean you're not American, then?
No, I'm a global citizen.